are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, who know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. It is my pleasure to have Bob Wischusen join us. He is the radio voice of the New York Jets on ESPN 98.7 in New York. Bob, how are you today?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. My first question for you is, it's a big turnover there after Rex Ryan leaving or being fired and then moving on to Buffalo. Is what is the big change that you can share with us that has happened since Rex Ryan has left and rookie head coach Todd Bowles has taken over?
Well, I mean, we're not going to really know until they're on the field what impact coaching has. Because, you know, I mean, right now it's just been shorts and T-shirts and helmets and conditioning for the most part. But the big turnover, I mean, granted, everybody makes a big deal about coaching. And coaching obviously plays a very large part in your success or failure. But, I mean, they improved the roster. You know, this team, especially offensively the last 2 years, had about as little talent as any team has ever had in NFL history,
yeah,
much less in the current NFL. So they've added Brandon Marshall. They've drafted Devin Smith, who obviously I'm sure Browns fans are pretty well aware of, can run down the field like a lightning bolt. They brought in Eric Decker last year. They've added a couple of running backs. They added Stephen Ridley to the mix. And they've added some players. So to me, that's the change. We take coaching in every professional sport, and we blow it out of proportion. When was the last time a head coach, a manager of any pro team, was fired, and then in that successive offseason, the front office did nothing to change the personnel on the team? I mean, to me, coaching gets a way overrated share of the blame, generally speaking, in all sports, and it's about players. It's about the teams that have the biggest playmakers and game breakers and game-changing players. Those are the teams that win games. And who have the Jets game-changing, wreck the game, especially on offense, big playmakers been? They haven't had a big playmaker in 5 years.
You're right.
So that's the change. I mean, we can talk about Rex Ryan to Todd Bowles all we want. They got Brandon Marshall. I mean, how does that not upgrade your offense?
Bob, my opinion, the biggest addition, the reacquisition. And the making up with Darrell Revis. And not only Revis, but, you know, combining with Antonio Cromartie and Buster Skrine, who was here last year in Cleveland, last few years in Cleveland. I got to think, we were talking about it during the first segment. Next to quarterback, defensive back might be the biggest position, most important position in the NFL, and the Jets have really filled some void there by bringing those three guys in.
Yeah, well, Rex, when he was here, the thing that he kept saying over and over again was two positions in football get you beat, quarterback and cornerback. And they had no cornerbacks last year. So, and their quarterback is still Geno Smith. So if Geno Smith is still going to be your quarterback, even if you've added Brandon Marshall to Eric Decker and now you draft Devin Smith and you bring in Ridley to go with Chris Ivory and, you know, Jason Morrow's a second-year player, you actually have some weapons, legitimate weapons around Geno Smith. I mean, Geno Smith's been the most turnover-prone quarterback in the NFL the last 2 years, so you know you have to be able to play big-time defense. And it's funny, Rex always had the reputation of being the blitz-crazy, you know, defensive mastermind, and he has been, and he's a defensive savant as a strategic coach, but no defensive coordinator in the NFL the last 2 years has blitzed a higher percentage of the time than Todd Bowles when he was in Arizona. We'll look at the corners that Todd Bowles had in Arizona. So if you look at his corners, and now you look at the fact that Jets brought in, you know, Buster Skrine as well to play the slot from Cleveland, you know, you add Skrine, Cromartie, and Revis to a secondary that has a first-round draft pick last year at safety in Calvin Pryor, you've completely remade your secondary, and you've also added the kind of players to play the way Todd Bowles wants his corners to play. Now this allows him to blitz the way he wants to blitz.
Bob, can you shine some light on the Leonard Williams drafting? I think a lot of people nationally tuning into the draft thought that it was just appropriate that he just couldn't drop any further and the Jets had to pull the trigger. and just bring some clarity to the point that now Sheldon Richardson has been suspended for the first few games of the football season. Was that known prior to the draft?
No. No, I mean, they would have drafted Leonard Williams no matter what at six, because just like you said, every single mock draft, quote-unquote, prognosticator expert out there had Leonard Williams going anywhere from 1 to 4,
right,
not ever getting past 5.
Correct.
So the fact that, I mean, to me, that the Redskins took a player that projects as a guard 5th overall, and the Jets are sitting there at 6th overall, and arguably the best all-around player, and certainly you have to think the best defensive player in the draft, is sitting there at 6, I mean, you're compelled to take that player. So that's really all that was. That was the classic example of, we never in a million years imagined this player would be sitting here at number 6, so we have to take him pick. So Bob, that's what they did. They just took the best guy available.
And what direction did you have them going in had it not been Leonard Williams at 6?
That's a good question. I think they were looking if the mix of players had been there, you know, not been there that they were expecting, maybe to trade down a couple of slots.
Okay.
But I don't really know where they were going to go. I think basically they were expecting one of those other guys in the top 5 to be available for them at 6, because Leonard Williams would have already gone.
Right.
So they were probably entertaining offers for the number 6 pick. But once you get arguably the best all-around player in the draft available at 6, you know, they basically said, you know, they fielded phone calls up until the end of their 10 minutes, but nobody came through with an offer that, you know, basically warranted them moving away from the guy that, I mean, I think they had Leonard Williams. If they didn't have him 2nd on their board, they had him 3rd on their board. So, you know, when you get a player that's 4 slots higher than you in the top 6 available, even if it's not quote-unquote a position of need, you know, you take them. And now it turns out to really be kind of serendipitous that they took them because, you know, like you said, a bad, bad mistake by Sheldon Richardson costs him the first 4 games. And by the way, costs Sheldon Richardson, you know, talk about making a dumb mistake, costs him roughly half the money that he was set to make this year. In terms of bonuses and game checks, I think he was scheduled to make about $1.4 million in total this year. And I think he's going to lose about $600,000 of it, missing the first 4 games of the season.
Wow.
Talking with Bob Wischusen, the radio voice of the Jets on ESPN 98.7 in New York. Also does a lot of work on ESPN Radio nationally on the play-by-play side of things. Sheldon Richardson, you mentioned it, Bob. A big mistake by him costs him 4 games. How does this team react transition going into camp knowing that they're going to be without their star player on the defensive line for 4 games?
Well, you know, if you're going to lose a player, even if it's one of arguably your top 3 players on the team, they picked the right position to miss him at, because now you've drafted Leonard Williams. They also have Damon Harrison. They've got a guy named Leje Douzable. Those 3 players can certainly rotate through and take plenty of snaps where Sheldon Richardson will be missing. They've got Muhammad Wilkerson, who's a Pro Bowl player on the defensive line. I mean, they've got probably more depth in the defensive 3-to-4-man rotation than any other spot on their team. So the talent drop-off from Sheldon Richardson to Leonard Williams is probably something we'll not 100% know until we actually see Leonard Williams out there with pads playing football. But you have to think if you're going to lose a guy for 4 games, it's not too bad when you can replace him largely with the 6th player in the draft. So, you know, they got lucky in that they're losing a great player, but they're losing him at the spot that they can probably most afford to lose a player for a while.
That's true. Hey, Bob, you've mentioned the upgrade of the Jets defensive backfield, their upgrades on offense as well, and of course the D-line, which we were just talking about. But it seems as if everyone in that division has also gotten better. Now, New England, you know, with or without Tom Brady, the Patriots are who they are, but the Dolphins signing Ndamukong Suh, the Bills now with Rex Ryan, they've added playmakers. Just talk about the division as a whole, where, yes, the Jets took a big step, but it seems as if the division has as well.
Well, I mean, to me, the Jets fall right into the overall theme of the division. The team that probably improved themselves the least, the team that probably took the most hits personnel-wise, the team that lost across the board more talent than any of the 3 teams, 4 teams of the division, is the team that everyone is going to go into the season picking to go 12-4 and win the division in a walk again. and that's New England. And why? Who's their quarterback? And who's the Jets quarterback? Who's the Dolphins quarterback?
Right.
Who's the Bills quarterback? So it just underscores what has now become, you know, the NFL, and that is improve yourself as much as you want, wherever else you want, spending as much money as you want across the board. And at the end of the day, if you can't answer the question, do I have a franchise quarterback with a definitive yes, then you're going to be an underdog in your division, and it almost doesn't matter who else you've got on your team because the other team's got a very strong yes answer to that question. So until these other teams, to me, prove they've got a quarterback, then the Patriots, just because of who they've got at quarterback, will go into every season as the favorite. Why wouldn't they? Who's not picking the Patriots to win the AFC? Now, maybe the margin is a little bit slimmer. The odds are a little bit better for maybe a team like the Dolphins or Bills to jump up and bite at the Patriots a bit. But how could you pick the Jets until Geno Smith goes out there and shows you he's going to throw more touchdowns than turn the ball over? So, you know, I mean, anybody that sits there and says they think this is the year that one of these other three teams overtakes the Patriots is just kind of saying that on blind faith that at some point, someday, it's got to happen. Or they're a fan of one of those teams and they want to be able to say that about their
sure.
team. But anybody that looks at it purely objectively asks a very simple question. Name the four quarterbacks and now pick a division winner.
Bob, before we let you go, I got to ask, will you be at the Open Championship in a few weeks?
I will, yes, leaving on Monday night, so I will be at St. Andrews this coming week.
What do you make of Tiger Woods right now? What is your take on him, and what do you expect to see from him next week?
You know, I don't know that there's any definitive answer you could give going into one specific event about Tiger. How he played, at least at the start of the Greenbrier. I mean, going out and shooting a couple of subpar rounds to start the Greenbrier is considered a baby step, but you need a much larger sample size to say Tiger has some hope going forward before you go into any one particular event. But, I mean, if I were to look more wide-angle lens at Tiger, 2 years ago, he won five times. I mean, he won the Players. He won four other tournaments in 2013. So the fact that only a year and a half later to 2 years later, we're declaring his career over when there are some guys that are really just starting to win tournaments, like a Jason Duffner won a major a couple of years ago,
yep.
and everybody talked about he's a player that's really on the come, and here comes Jason Duffner. And Jason Duffner and Tiger are basically the same age.
They are.
And Tiger's done. You know, so to me, I have a hard time believing with the competitive nature of Tiger Woods and the talent level that we know is there, that there won't be a second chapter or a renaissance to his career at some point. He'll get back to being a top player and win at least a couple of more majors, but I don't think he'll ever get back to the point that he was before he got injured and his life fell apart. He was winning four out of every six majors that were played. I don't see how he could ever get back to being that dominant. But to say he's done, to me, is ridiculous.
Bob, thank you so much for your time. I know you're on vacation and taking some time for us. It's greatly appreciated.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Have
hey,
a great
take
day.
Take care, Bob.
That was Bob Wischusen, the radio voice of the New York Jets, giving us insight on the week one opponent of the Cleveland Browns. We're going to take – go ahead.
He just hung up. Our guy Bruce in Sandusky. Bruce had a dentist appointment. I was hoping we might get to him before he walked in. He literally goes, I got to walk in at 1:50. I'm like, I think there's a chance we'll get to him.
We almost got to him.
He has an autographed item. He told me it luckily before unfortunately he had to take off.
Okay.
He has got a Browns water bottle that is signed by Bernie Kosar and Bill Belichick.
Wow.
That's pretty
rare.
Sweet.
That is pretty sweet.
Old school Browns water bottle from like before they left, signed by Belichick and by Bernie Kosar.
That's a rare item.
It is a rare item.
Very rare item.
We should talk more about that.
Let's talk more about that again as we throw to break here. 216-578-0850 or tweet at the show at Browns_daily. What autograph do you have right now that you cherish, and what one autograph would you want to seek, or, you know, with multiple autographs on it that you want to seek out, something so profound that you would pass it on to your kids? 216-578-0850, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.